Here's a good one from our boy Big Blue VCR. Assuming the Giants win on Sunday to clinch the playoffs, who, or perhaps a couple of guys, will be the ones to dump the Gatorade bucket on Dable? What about your boy Ward?
I can see Hattie. Yep, I can see Jahad. Yeah. I can definitely see now. I'm thinking about the roster.
Yeah, because someone chimed in with that. Some guy Tev said, "What about the Jihad Ward for sure?" So I give credit for saying that.
Yep. I can see Jahad Ward. Definitely, that's a good one, Jerry.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Dude, all I could think about was where we were a year ago, where this franchise was. And after yesterday's victory, how fast it's, you know, where this franchise is now and how far ahead they are. We've talked about it for the last, you know, however many podcasts, however many weeks. The Giants are at least a year ahead of schedule. You can make the argument they're 2 years ahead of schedule because it looks like they have their quarterback. But Chris, the job that Dable, Shane, Jones, the players, the entire organization has done has been incredible. This has been such a fun year. I can't imagine what it was like for you yesterday in the locker room. I know you tweeted that Jihad's going crazy. Dude, first off, congratulations that you were able to cover that. Finally, like a victory like that, right? Like we said, we've been doing this podcast for a while, and it's been rough. It's been some lean years. But, you know, I'm going to leave it to you, dude. What was the atmosphere like, man? I just it's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, before we get into the atmosphere and the electricity and...
Yeah.
I hope people got a little feel of it, too. The one at the game, I put a video out. I was down at the field, you know, when the game was wrapping up. And I think you kind of got a little feel of the excitement, too, right? I mean, but I'm going to ask you this question before we kick up about the atmosphere of the game.
Yeah.
Do you give a flying F right now that the Giants went through 3 head coaches in the last 6 years?
No. And someone, I don't know if, did you put it out there? Someone put your tweet out there. Someone put your tweet out there last night and I saw that, or this morning. And I laughed because your response was, no one cares how many coaches they go through. It was your response to Francesa. Nobody cares how many coaches they go through as long as they get the right one. So no, Chris, no one should care.
I didn't see that tweet.
Yes. Someone reposted it.
Okay. But here's my question. And I said this, right? And people were like, oh, you're going through coaches at 2 years. And remember on the podcast like a year ago, whatever it was, Jeff, if they get it right.
Who cares?
Nobody's going to care. No Giants fans are going to care. You know, it's going to be like, all right, who gives a shit? We got it right, and let's move on, you know? Well, here we are. You know, let's not compare Judge's first year a couple years ago. So when Judge almost made the playoffs, it was 6-10. Mm-hmm. The Eagles, you know, we all know what happened. You know, this is legit. Like, this is 9-6-1. Mm-hmm. They destroyed a team yesterday to get into the playoffs, which had like a Green Bay Packer-type feel back in 86. Not that I'm comparing the teams. The Giants 86 teams. Way better. But I'm just saying, had that feel. I remember when the Packers came into Meadowlands in 86 and the Giants, to wrap up the number one seed, whatever it was, they destroyed them.
55-24. Yep.
I had that feel, you know, as far as getting into the playoffs and whipping up on your team. Fans going crazy, the whole deal.
Yeah.
So I don't think any Giants fans right now are sitting here saying, yeah, man, I can't believe we went through 3 head coaches. It's bullshit and all. You know, because right now everybody's sitting there saying, who cares? It's 2022.
Yeah.
And remarkably enough, and you saw it again yesterday with the schemes. Wink. Red zone offense.
Kafka. Oh.
Kafka.
Oh, my God.
Dexter Lawrence doing little things to push probably a future Hall of Famer back in the pocket. Little adjustments coaching staff's made. And I hinted that already. Andre Patterson is going to be in the next issue, or down the road in an issue in a Giant Insider.
Yeah.
Little tweaks he did. First thing he did with Dexter Lawrence is, dude, you're not extending your arms. You got to extend your arms. Well, that was perfect yesterday. I think people put it on Twitter left and right of him exploding, getting those big arms extended, and pushing Quentin Nelson back. First time I ever, by the way, the first time I ever was happy that Quentin Nelson got pushed back.
Okay. First time, Chris, first time I ever saw that, too. I've never seen that before.
So, Jerry, you know, little thing, the coaching staff, the point being is that nobody cares that Mara got it wrong. And Marin's admitted himself he's made mistakes, okay? But I think everybody feels right now that John Mara got it right, and it's a credit to him, okay? With Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And now we're moving forward in the playoffs. And I'm telling you, bro, no matter who they play that first game, first off, if they play the Vikings, I expect them to win. If they play the 49ers, I expect them to lose, but in a tough fashion. I was talking with a couple of guys yesterday in MetLife. Carl Banks being one of them. And we were talking about, like, these guys are going to, they're not going to be an easy out. Especially now X is back, Zay's back, McKinney. And you're going to get a Dory back. They're not going to be an easy out. Yeah, they might get whipped up by the Niners. I shouldn't say whipped up. Yeah, they might get... Look, they might lose a 10-point game. Okay, I get it. Against the Niners. It's possible. Possible. Although I didn't like the way they looked against the Raiders yesterday. This is why it's a... But they're not going to be an easy out, bro. Not with these... And Jerry, I said something on our last podcast. I was telling you about... Brian Daboll. He isn't just satisfied. Oh, we made the playoffs, so we have no chance now, guys. Hey, guys, this is great. Hey, we're in the Dude, he believes he can win every... I told you this, right?
Yes.
So what did he say in the presser yesterday? Yeah, we're not just happy to be in the playoffs. You know?
Yeah, he doesn't feel like he's playing with house money, Chris.
Right, no. We expect to go out there and win every game.
Right.
Now, you could say, oh, all right, stop dreaming. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just telling you the mentality he gives these guys in the locker room. Yeah. And I told you this, dude, when I was interviewing Jahad Ward. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality of these guys. Like, they feel they could beat anybody.
Yes.
I think Saquon gave you a little taste of that yesterday in his presser. You know? Yeah. I asked Saquon about Daboll, what he's done for this team. And you could just see Saquon's eyes light up. He's like, this guy here. Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know?
Yeah.
You got Nick Gates saying he'll take a bullet for Daniel Jones. With his devil jersey on, because Nick Gates
saw that. Smart. Can't account for taste.
Because Nick Gates is one smart guy, as we all know.
Right.
All right? I mean, these guys, dude, they believe. They just don't think they're going to go into the playoffs and, okay, you know, here we are. We're playing in the Bay Area, San Francisco, where the hell they play now. We're playing in San Francisco. We're playing in Minnesota. Hey, this is great. You know, we're playing with house money. We exceeded expectations. We'll go home after this, and we'll look forward to it. These guys think they could go, bro. I'm telling you. They think they could go far in these playoffs. Whether or not that happens, we'll see. But I'm just telling you, they're going to be I expect them to be a pretty tough out.
The two things I couldn't get over yesterday was all week long. They didn't talk about it, but all week long, I never felt like we were going to lose that game. And when the game started, even after Foles got his lucky bomb, it was like, this just seems like an anomaly. And it was. Right. He did nothing. Right. I mean, McKinney misplayed it. That's a result of having not played in a while. And never felt like that game was going to get at, you know, was going to go towards the Colts at all. So that's one thing, right? We the Giants accomplished something that they haven't done in a while, where they just pounded a team that they were expected to pound. And the other thing, Chris, I could not get over, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, Joe Shane not making a trade at the trade deadline. Admittedly, I was disappointed because I thought, you're really not giving Daniel Jones a chance here. But the way Hodgins has worked out, you know, and look, it's still, they're going to improve that piece of the roster, the wide receivers.
Yeah, but we should have DeAndre Hopkins in here. Yeah.
Right. That'd be wonderful. But, you know, even the game Richie James had, right? You know, Slayton had the bad play, but he's been okay, right? He's been pretty good. Not making the trade. Chris, no matter what happens in these playoffs, whether they lose in the first round or win the Super Bowl, they're going to be a better team next year on paper with those draft picks and all that cap space. It's like, even no matter what they do in the playoffs, from a strict talent perspective, because of the resources they have in the draft and the cap space they're going to have, on paper, this team will be improved. I couldn't get over that yesterday. You can't always say that, dude. Like, you know, a lot of times when teams make the playoffs, it's because, well, they sacrificed this or they did that. I mean, look at the Dolphins, dude. I think they have a first-round pick next year. Look at the Rams, right? They made their run. There's teams that aren't necessarily going to be better. The Giants should be a better team than what they are now, and I love this team. This team is so easy to root for. Like, we always love the Giants, but there's been teams that we've had over the years where you're like, oh my God, like there's certain aspects you just don't like, and they got to change this, change that. And, but how could you, I mean, how could you not fall in love with what they're doing with the coach, the GM, the players? Oh my God, dude, it's such a pleasure to watch this team. And those were my thoughts yesterday, man. I just sat there and enjoyed it for 3.5 hours, dude.
And dude, that is all true what you said. And the question mark would have been, okay, that's great, Jerry Foley, but who's your quarterback?
Right.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That, you know, all that talent, and you're right, dude. You expect them to have an upgrade in talent next year, a better team than the one to go into the playoffs now. But if they didn't have a quarterback, you would say, well, that's nice, Jerry, but who's that quarterback? Because it ain't going to mean crap, right?
Yeah,
but
Jerry, and that's why I said, I almost think they're 2 years ahead of schedule. Because if they were, look, they're a year ahead of schedule easily. But if you got a rookie quarterback next year, it's, well, what do you expect of a rookie quarterback? Struggling, maybe some good things, but at the end of the day, you're not expecting a playoff run. I would argue the Giants are 2 years ahead because of that. Go ahead, Chris.
No. Yeah. And Jerry, even if you brought some veteran in, you don't know how that's going to work out either, because the Jets are going to go that path now, and you're going to see disaster in that next year because it's the Jets, okay? Yeah. Now who are now realizing that, oh, wow, we don't have Tom Brady and Mike White, you know? So, but I think yesterday, Jerry, showed everybody, I think it was the final nail in the coffin, dude, that Daniel Jones, I couldn't believe what he was doing yesterday. I mean, you want to talk about a kid with balls, bro. Toughness. Making throws to Isaiah Hodgins, Richie James. They exploited the slot yesterday. Great. Mike Kafka saw. Look, Kenny Moore didn't play. He's been out. He's their best slot corner. And Mike Kafka goes, well, we're going to attack that all day. Okay? This is what I mean by coaching, bro. And if you don't believe me, folks, just check out Brian Baldinger's Twitter account. Every week he's putting something up with the Giants saying coaching matters. Okay? So I was just looking. I was marveling. And then Mike Kafka sees, wow. You know, this zone read is there all day with Daniel. It's there all day. They are not setting the edge there. And Daniel just kept running the zone read. And dude, you know, I've talked about this a million times. And people who, like, maybe didn't realize it, Jerry, or maybe like, ah, Chris, I don't think Chris, you know, I don't think he's really 100% in it. You saw how fast Daniel Jones is, bro.
Yep.
I've been saying this for 4 years. That dude is fast, okay?
Yep.
Jerry, there was those two outside zone runs yesterday. The one for the touchdown. Actually, both for the touchdown.
Well, the other one, too. The one on the other side of the field where he fooled the cameraman. And it's not that he's just running it. He's playing so well. Okay. Oh, God, dude. It was like Barkley, oh, my God, Jones has it. And he just ran up the sidelines. You're like, he's not only, it's not only that they're calling it. He's doing it so well. He's hiding it so well, Chris. Go ahead.
Right. And when he gets outside, you see how fast he is, man.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I wish it was a few times Daniel would just get the hell down. He did slid. Once. He slid on the 30-yard line. I was like, oh, thank you, Daniel. And then after that, just to show you the competitive fire of this kid.
Yeah.
And Daniel's always, you always talk to Daniel in the locker room and his presses. It's the same act. We just want to get better. It's the same act, right? But just to show you how competitive he is. So he takes that hit from Bobby Okereke.
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel got up. He didn't like that. You could tell. I mean, you know, and then right away Feliciano jumps in. You know, guys jump in, the whole deal for Daniel. So, well, when Daniel had that zone read later on for the touchdown, who was coming at him on the side was Bobby Okereke.
Yep.
And trust me, folks, on this, Daniel knew who was coming at him. And Okereke was pissed off. He even got a flag. Okay, I don't know why, but he was pissed off. And he was pissed off his team was getting his crack kicked out of him. He was pissed off at everything, Okereke. I was watching him on the sidelines. He had like 100 tackles yesterday. So here he is. This was his shot now. Okay, watch this. I'm going to get this guy. You know, Daniel didn't step out of bounds. He didn't slide. And like he said in his post-game presser, when I see a touchdown, I'm going to go for it. If I see the goal line, I'm going for it. I'm not going to slide. And he just went for it, and Okereke came over and blasted him after Daniel scored, and Daniel just got up. No mouthing, no look, no staring at Okereke like, I gotcha. Just flips the ball, touchdown Giants. Dude, what can you say more about Daniel Jones? The way I asked Dable this in the press. And I said, yo, I said, Daniel put this team on his shoulders, man. This was a big moment, Jerry. This was a moment to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He seized the moment, put his team on his shoulders, and came up big. Big difference, bro. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks play really well, and in a big moment, come up small. Jets quarterback yesterday is a prime example. You're not playing the Bears in October. You needed to take your team and win a game for them against Seattle and Seattle. What did he do? He came out look like a tomato from day one, from play one. Well, Daniel Jones seized the moment, took the game over with his legs, with his arm. They went down 3-0. Daniel marches them down the field. 7-3, Daniel marches them down the field. The first touchdown, Daniel steps up in the pocket, gets a little time. Richie sees him. Richie improvises with him a little bit, gets a little space. Boom, Daniel hits him. Hodgins, boom, Daniel hits him. Choice routes, boom, Daniel's hitting him. And I saw a few choice routes yesterday. You have to be on the same page with your receiver or you're going to throw a pick or incomplete.
The accuracy with some of those, Chris, is what astounds me. I mean, there's a corner draped over all over him. And now he's hitting him.
Right. So now he starts off the game. He almost throws a pick to Zahir Franklin. And I said, whoa, is Daniel up? Is Daniel tight? You know, he didn't see Franklin. I'm like, oh, but it happened. But if he was a little tight, he didn't admit to it. He just a bad read. Daniel said, Daniel told me to lock. It was just a bad read. He goes, I didn't see him till last second. Okay, so he got away with one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he was uptight, he was probably wasn't going to admit it. But if he was, he settled down quickly, if he was. Mm. Which I'm not even sure he was. He might have just been a bad read. You know, he almost got picked a few times early on. Okay?
Yeah.
He settled down, Jerry. I saw him come off the sideline after the first series. Dable grabbed him. Dable's going like this to him. He's animated. He's not animated, but talking to him. Probably settling him down. Like, relax, Daniel. Relax. Relax. We got this, you know?
Yeah.
And after that first series, when he marched him down the field, and he took over, you know, Daniel took over the game on the offense with his legs and his arm.
Yeah, and the one he almost threw that was intended for Hodgins, Hodgins got hooked on that play. So he was expecting
traffic.
Yeah, yeah. So I was more concerned with that first one than the second one.
The first one was alarming. Yeah.
Right, a little bit. But Chris, you said it, right? He came up big when they needed him. It's 3 weeks in a row, dude. Each game's been bigger than the last, right? Washington. Then you go into Minnesota. It's like, well, they can't win that game, but we'll see what happens. Statistically had his best game of the season from a passing perspective and made one mistake in 3 weeks, really. And then yesterday, you know, win and get in. Don't scoreboard watch. Just win and get in. He puts up four touchdowns. You know, he puts up, what, 170-something passing, 91 rushing. You know, no interceptions, no turnovers. Like, come on. We have our guy. And we have a coach that has really brought out the best in him. And laugh if you want, guys. But people are saying, like, when you look at the term most valuable player, there have been people around the country now that are saying Daniel Jones should get a vote or two because the strict definition of most valuable is if you take that person off your team, what do they become? It's different than player of the year, which is why I've told you, Chris, you're the baseball guy, but I've always made the argument that a pitcher can be an MVP.
I agree with you.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But people say, no, you only play every 5 days. Well, okay, but if you take that player off the team, what are they? Mm-hmm. I mean, you take Daniel Jones off the Giants, what do you got? I mean, look, again, it's a little far-fetched, but I've heard people say that. Dude, we got our guy. And you know what? We had that guy Fisk Vegas on earlier in the year. You know, I think he messaged us saying, oh, you know, everybody laughed at me. Yeah, look, he's not Patrick Mahomes. This isn't a Patrick Mahomes season. But look, Daniel Jones is having a great year, and Dable has brought out the most in him, dude. I couldn't be happier with his progress.
Yeah,
dude.
What Dable has done with him, dude, is remarkable.
Yeah.
Is remarkable. Look, Dable did it with Josh Allen up in Buffalo. Yeah. And then they went out and got Josh Stephen Diggs. And if you don't think Joe Shane is going to do something this year, I'm telling you right now, names like DeAndre Hopkins is being thrown around. Mm. I'm just telling you, bro. Joe Shane sat next to Brandon Bean when they made that big trade for Stephen Diggs. And that was a world of difference for Josh Allen. Joe Shane is going to explore the trade. He's going to explore the trade market to get Daniel a big-time receiver. And there's a couple out there. There's going to be a couple out there. Now, financial, cap, all that stuff, that work it out. But there's going to be two guys that are probably going to be moved, okay?
Devontae Adams.
Who knows what's going to happen with him now? Although he makes, you know, I understand the money and all that, whatever they work out. I'm just telling you. Devontae, now that Derek Carr is going to be gone, Devontae Adams probably is going to want out. Okay? I don't know if that for sure. But they're already talking about that, and DeAndre Hopkins basically wants out of Arizona. Okay? But that's down the road. I'm just telling you, don't put it past Joe Shane to make a major impact move like that to get this kid a impact number one receiver. Anyway. But, dude, Daniel Jones, this is what you look for, right? What's he going to do in the big moments? Well, I think Daniel Jones sees the moment, you know?
Yep. All right, Chris, hang on. Guys, we're going to be right back after this. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. We're going to take a break and come right back. Hang on.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And we're back. Hey, folks, you're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast, a playoff podcast with Chris Bisignano, Nobody Beats the Biz, and Jerry Foley. Dude, what else can you say about Jones? I mean, he's taking the bull by the horns. I love how much the players love him, too, dude, right? It's so nice to see. I mean, Saquon Barkley, like, these guys would jump in front of a gun for him. Like, they love him. It's incredible. The 180 that has happened. They may have always liked them, but I mean, this is very noticeable now. And you see,
Jerry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we went from August to, hey, he's going to play it out and we'll see what happens with Daniel Jones to, oh my God, this is the franchise guy. This is our guy. We're going to go forward with him. And when he came off the field, I'm sure you saw the clip of it because you can't see it from the press box, but the way Dable looked at him and smiled and hit him on the head. I mean, the joke was, find someone to look at you the way Brian Dable looks at Daniel Jones, because, you know, it's such a nice story, man. It really is.
Yeah, Dable. Look, Jerry, Dable and Joe Shane were in the same boat that me and you were talking back in August. Let's see what we got. Yeah. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. They liked him, but they wanted to see. And I think I mentioned on the podcast, Joe Shane was basically giving Daniel Jones like 4 or 5 games. That was it.
Yeah.
To kind of like, we'll see what we got here in these first 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
So we were no different than Joe Shane and Brian Dable. They wanted to see what they had too, just like we talked about it. Well, guess what? They have now seen what they have.
Yeah.
This is why you play.
Right.
Okay. And you know what's the funny thing, dude, is that if Daniel Jones doesn't get hurt last year, Joe Judge is still the head coach of this team. Because the offense wouldn't have been as bad. They would have had a good record, but the offense wouldn't have been as bad. And Joe Judge would have been back. Trust me in that. Okay, but it's weird how things work out. But here's Daniel playing every game this year. You see what he's doing. Joe Shane and Daniel Jones are going to work out a 3 or 4 year deal. And whatever money he gets, he's going to get. And Saquon Barkley, he loves Daniel Jones, bro. Saquon doesn't want to go anywhere without Daniel. Don't let, he's not up there just throwing blown smoke up people. Oh, yeah, I love Daniel. I'm telling you, Saquon Barkley absolutely loves him. These guys love him. When you see your quarterback taking hits, getting up, doing it again, fire. When you see that, Jerry, you're like, oh, man, this is our leader doing this. You know what I mean? Like, what are you kidding me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and inspires a whole locker room, bro. And can we talk about my boy, Landon Collins, for 1 second?
I love it. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Landon is not Landon from years ago. But I tell you what, he's a smart dude. When he made that play yesterday, that was it. It was 14-3, game, as Pat Shermer would say, finito. Over. Okay, I don't care if it was the second quarter. Yeah. Jerry, you ought to see the body language on the Colts after that touchdown. It was so I'm sitting next to Madelyn Burke, I'm sure a lot of Giants fans know. She's on the post game. She does, who works for the Giants. I sit next to her during the game. And when Landon scored, I looked at Madelyn. I said, Madelyn, it's over. She started yelling at me. What, Chris, don't jinx us. Why would you say that? I said, Madelyn, it's over. Over. Oh, don't do that. Okay. The body language on the Colts, it was over, Jerry. Done.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's what a defensive touchdown will do for you early in the game, bro. Especially for a team that's thinking about the offseason. And then they get a field goal. And they're like, okay, you know, let's just try to spoil the Giants part. And then the Giants score. And then Landon ends it. And they were like, okay, what time's the flight back? You could just see it, dude.
Yeah.
And then Kayvon destroys Nick Foles. And they had to go to the Kid Ellinger and all that stuff. But Landon told me in the locker room, and I always got along with Landon. Landon was one of my favorite guys when he was with the Giants. He's a great dude. And so I go up to him and I'm breaking his chops. I'm like, yo, Slick. Because he had a real fancy outfit on, you know. So, you know, Landon dresses sharp. So I go, yo, Slick, come here. You know, so he comes over and I'm like, tell me about the interception. Come on. You know, I said, I was breaking his chops going, another one of your lucky picks that you just ball fell in your hands. And he's like, and he laughs. He goes, I said, tell me about it. He goes, well, I'll tell you. He goes, I saw it all week on film, the way Pittman was running those routes, you know. I think it was Pittman. Yeah, I think it was Pittman. So
I think so.
He goes, when Pittman was running those routes, he goes, I could tell the way, you know, he ran it depth-wise when he ran those outs. This is what I mean about smart veterans, right, Jerry?
Right.
So he goes, as soon as I saw him run, I knew what he was going to do, how deep he was going to run the out. And I looked up at Nick. He goes, I looked up at Foles. And I saw him cocking the arm, and I said, "What? I'm gonna jump this shit." You know, that's what he said. You know, and he did. And this, you know, this is how smart, you know, Landon is. Look, he played 27 snaps. This is what they're gonna do with Landon. He's gonna get his 25 to 27 snaps. But how about that play by Landon? And then he's like, and I was like, and I joked around. And I said, "I'm surprised, old man, that you didn't get tracked down from behind." You know, he goes, "There was nobody catching me on that one." Yeah, he goes, "I was not to be." Denied going back to the end zone. That was incredible. You know, Jerry, the crowd. Did you hear that crowd?
Oh, I was. It wasn't lost on them who did that, right? As soon as it happened, right. It was there goes Landon Collins. I mean, I think you tweeted same way I felt. Like, what is this, 2016? Like, that's what he looked like on that play.
Yeah. So it was, you know, that was it. The game was.
Yeah.
I don't care how much time was left, Jerry. I don't agree. Care how many quarters were left and all that crap.
Yeah.
It was. Over after
completely,
that.
Completely relaxed as soon as that play, after that play was over. It was like, this game's over.
Yep. The Colts were done. Their body language wasn't the same.
Right.
It was done. It was over. I had no idea why they kicked the field goal on their first drive. The players must have been like, what are we doing?
And they called timeout to do it.
They called timeout to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
So I joked around saying, Saturday must have got the call from Jim Irsay saying, yo, what are you doing? You know, it's going to touchdowns, kick field goal. We're going to get a better draft pick here. What are you, crazy? You know, and I'm like, tongue in cheek. I'm like, fooling around, but I would, when you see that and they're 4-10-1, a 4th-and-1, I'm like, what is he doing? Like, what are we doing here? I'm like, okay, we'll take it. You know, we'll take it. You know,
I would have felt way worse if they went for it and converted and scored a touchdown there. Then doubt starts creeping in.
But once they kick the field goal, creeping in.
All right, there goes you had your lucky bomb. Then you could have gone for it. You kicked the field goal instead. We're in great shape here. I mean, perfect. Thank you.
Hey, look, it wasn't, Jerry, it wasn't like Saquon was running well, but big chunk yards. He really wasn't. But Daniel was killing them. Killing them. Richie James from the slot was killing them.
Yeah,
hey, how about the offensive line?
Yeah, three
no plus. Sacks.
Yeah, another week with no sacks.
Evan Neal, no, what? No, no.
Another,
what do you
another
mean?
Week.
Another week. They've been getting up a ton of sacks. What do you mean?
No, I think it's, I think 2 weeks in, I don't think the Vikings never got to him either. I'm saying they played well two weeks in a row.
Oh, they didn't?
I don't think the Vikings got to him.
Okay.
I don't think.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm mistaken in that. Okay.
It's okay.
But I'm like, let me look that up, dude.
I know, because now I'm going to feel like an idiot if I'm that off.
Nah, dude. It's a long season, bro. You can't remember every damn. No, the Vikings had 3 sacks, Jerry.
So there you have it.
I thought I was losing my mind. Like, what do you mean? I remember Danielle Hunter being in the backfield every damn play.
Yes. Sorry.
So Evan Neal, hey, he tightened it up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Quiddy Pay is no joke up front. I know Ndoka was out. Was out. He's their best pass rusher. But they still got guys like DeForest Buckner up front. Yeah. They still got the Grover Stewart. They had the Quiddy Pay that could get to the quarterback. Yeah. You know, so they did a hell of a job for Evan Neal. I thought played a pretty solid game, man. You know, and Andrew Thomas was Andrew Thomas, you know. And then Kafka saw with the zone read and Daniel pulling it in and taking off. Great job by Daniel recognizing, you know, that he had it there. And just unbelievable, man. It's, look, when you don't have a running game going with your running backs and you got a quarterback that's running 90-plus, oh, my God. You know, so that's tough to defend.
You know, it seemed like for 2 or 3 years, Chris, we'd come on the podcast and we would ask, like, you know, why don't they use Daniel's legs more? I mean, is it as simple as Dable coming in here and just saying, why aren't, like, asking the same kind of question? Like, I can't believe they didn't run this kid more than they have. I mean, you said it when he was a rookie. Comes in, and he's like, you're like, dude, Daniel Jones can fly. He's blazing fast. I can't believe how fast this kid is. And then it seemed like it. We rarely saw. You saw it sometimes, but you didn't see it as often as we'd like. I mean, is that just Dable coming in and Kafka saying, we have to play to this kid's strengths?
Well, Jerry, it's week by week. You know, there's been games this year and we were like, man, I thought we were going to see Daniel run more. Remember?
Yeah.
It's what the defenses are doing. A lot of times defenses are taking that away. You know, yeah. They're not going to give Daniel. Look, the Colts just didn't take it away. The Colts never really adjusted what Daniel was doing. Yeah. And, you know, and they kept giving him those edges. And, you know, being up in a press box, Jerry, there was two of those runs that all you see was green field and like a huge space, and I'm like, wow, look at this. And Daniel just yeah. You know, I mean, he just took off.
Yeah.
But it's a week by week. You know, look, if Kafka and Dable see that, they're not getting that. Or Daniel sees, you know, don't forget those zone reads. Daniel pulls it in or takes or hands it off or pulls it in. If Daniel's not seeing it, you know, he's not going to run it. You know, so, yeah, yesterday they saw it. It worked. They kept using it. Daniel kept using it because they won't stop it.
Yeah.
You know, they won't stop it. You know, now next week. Well, next week, I don't know, Daniel's probably not even playing. But in a playoff game, say the Vikings or the 40, especially the 49ers with their active linebackers, you know, they might sit out though. Well, we're not gonna let, no way Daniel's gonna be running 90 yards. You know, it's a different story. It's a week by week. You know, so it was there yesterday, and they kept calling it. That's the option, and it worked, bro. And you cannot give Daniel, Jerry, those zone reads because you see how fast he is. He'll kill you, man. He'll kill you. The dude is fast, man, and he's big and strong.
So you just said something. I was going to ask you this. Do you think he's going to sit his guys next week, Dable?
Well, Jerry, I don't know. He didn't want to hint to us. He didn't really think about it yet. You know, I think it'll be suicide. Why would you play Daniel? You know, you can't sit everybody. So some guys are going to play. You can't sit everybody. It's only 46 on game day. You know, I think a lot of starters will be. There's no point playing a Leo Williams. You might even see a Dory sit another week to give him a rest now that they're in the playoffs. You know,
I understand that one. That makes a lot of sense. And Ojulari only played, what, a few snaps yesterday?
Ojulari. Right? You know what's funny? I'm like, man, I thought he was out there. He played 7 snaps. I thought he was out there way more than that yesterday. I was like, man.
I was relieved to see that because I thought he got hurt again because I hadn't seen him. I just thought, oh, no, is he hurt again?
Yeah.
So.
You know. We'll see. Look, this is the first time, you know, first time we're dealing with Brian Dable in this situation. First year head coach. We'll see how he plays it. I just don't see. I mean, why would you play Daniel? Saquon Barkley? Why would you play Saquon Barkley? You know, you're playing a week later. The game means nothing, you know? So I don't expect guys like that to play, dude. I really don't. I think you're going to see, like, you know, the Tamon Foxes and, you know, and Jihad Ward. You know, I don't expect to see a lot of guys, man, because you're playing a week later. Why take? There's absolutely no reason to take the chance, especially with Daniel, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what
they
decide.
And now the Eagles are playing for something. Now they're playing for something, you know?
You know Philly can drop down to the 5?
Yeah. I mean, if the Giants go in there. And look, you know, it's a funny thing, Jerry. If the Giants go in there next week, like, say, I fully expect Jalen Hurts to play, right?
Yeah.
But say he gets, you know, say he gets hurt in the first quarter. Say the Giants, he bangs up that shoulder or something, right? Now they got to bring Minshew in, who looked like crap yesterday, right? Now they got to bring Minshew in. Dude, you never know. I mean, you never know. I mean, look, the Giants are going to be playing hard. Don't get me wrong. They're probably not going to play a lot of guys. But they're not going to just go in there and go, okay, let's get out. Look, they're like nothing better than spoil Philly a little bit, too. Trust me when I'm telling you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Would love it.
And like you said, they could go from number one seed, which was look like it was a absolute guaranteed
conclusion. Yeah.
To 5. You know? After that loss yesterday. So, but you have to be smart too. I mean, I don't expect Daniel to play, dude. But I don't know for sure until Dable says it because, hey, this is the first time we're dealing with Dable, the first time he's experiencing this. you know, where he's going to, he's playing a meaningless game. So we'll see how he attacks it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's funny, all the different scenarios next week, right? Like the Packers win, they're in, but you know, all the different, it's still a lot of moving parts. It's just the Giants are locked at six. Yeah. They're playing the 49ers or they're playing the Vikings. Right now it's the Vikings, which is what we've been wanting.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Eagles can go from 1-5 if the Cowboys beat the Tutty, the Captain Tutty, whatever Washington's new mascot is, whatever his stupid name is. But yeah, anyway.
Amazing. Stuff. It's amazing, man.
Yeah, it really is.
But Jerry, halftime, you could just sense it was over.
Yeah.
Giants ran, you know, even the fourth quarter, Matt Breida eating up a lot of clock with junk yards.
Yeah.
The Colts defense was like, just like, could we go home? What time's the flight? They just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel did what he had to do. The defense, I don't think we were really worried about Nick Foles, right? Dude, deep down.
No, we weren't.
I don't think we were really worried about Nick Foles.
And isn't it amazing, Chris, that you don't worry about that stuff anymore? And a year or two ago, you would have been like, oh, of course this guy's going to kill us. But it's a different feel now with Dable, right? Like you said, you know, that 61-yard field goal that happened last week, that shit's going to stop soon. And I just felt like if it's Nick Foles against Pat Shurmur or Joe Judge, I'm like, he's going to throw for 300 yards and ruin our season. I did not feel that way at all. It was like, nah, this isn't the Nick Foles of 2017. Yeah. Okay. We don't have that bad juju anymore. But it was, again, something I haven't felt in a while. But yeah, it just never felt like this game was in control pretty much from the outset.
Yeah. You know, Lawrence Taylor's there. He's ringing the bell.
Yeah.
It's 55 and sunny, Jerry.
Yeah.
It was festive mood. I was just like, there is no way they're losing. I mean, there is no way they're losing this game. The only damn thing I lost yesterday was a bet to Lawrence Tynes. Now I owe him a round of golf.
It's an expensive loss.
Which, of course, he texts me. I tried to tell you, dude. Okay, thanks, Lawrence. You know, this and that. But, you know, but I did, you know, I did say I'd be happy to lose. You know, I'd be happy to lose if the Giants did score, 27 and they wound up, 38. You know, so
comical that they hadn't scored 30 in so long and they almost rocketed the 40 yesterday.
Amazing. So, yeah. Which, you know, in the first quarter, I was saying to myself, 7-3, I'm probably still going to win this. But, and then when they made it, when Landon scored that touchdown, I was like, oh, I'm losing this bet. I could just see it now. I'm losing this bet. So I knew it was over. So, but I was, like I said, that was a bet I very happily lost. You know, I have no problem losing that one. So that's it. So next week, you know, it's a meaningless game. We'll see what Dable does as far as personnel wise.
Yeah.
The Eagles now need that game, so they'll be going all out. You know, they want that week off, be that number one seed and all that stuff. So
I got to be honest with you, dude. I love that they need that game. I love it. Love it.
It's comical. Jerry, a couple of weeks ago, you know, if I would have said, I put it on Twitter yesterday, a couple of weeks ago, I would have said the Giants are playing a meaningless game and the Eagles are not. They're playing for everything. I mean, you would have been like, Chris, what are you, losing your mind? You know what I mean? So, it's the way this league is, bro. It's amazing. Especially this year. It's crazy. Just a crazy year, man.
Yeah,
just a crazy year. So
it's a great one.
Yeah, so they'll take, you know, they're playing in 2 weeks, and we'll see what happens as far as, you know, who they play.
Yeah,
I'm talking about, you know, in the playoffs, and obviously who they play against the Eagles next week.
Yep. All right. Anything else we want to cover? Just real quick on special teams. That's the only thing that alarmed me a little, and I'll say this.
Sure, it's been a long year.
Because if I'm an opponent, I would be tempted to bring out every kick as long as I can catch it in the end zone, as long as Gano didn't blast it past, because I just feel like you're going to get past the 25. And if I'm an opponent, I'm kicking it short because I don't think our guys can get to the 25. That's the one thing. I mean, as good as Gano has been and he's Mr. Automatic, it's our return team and it's our kickoff coverage team that still scares the hell out of me. Like if I'm...
You should.
And yesterday the Colts were doing it because I think the season's over and they're just like, let me bring this out and see what I can do. But they got past the 25 every time they did that. Like there was never once, I don't think there was one play where they were tackled before the 20. But it's still a concern, man. You know, and the better teams in the playoffs are going to, I just hope they don't make them pay for that. That's all.
Jerry, I don't think it was, I don't think the Colts were like, it's the end of the year. Let's just take it out. No, I think they looked at the Giants on film and said, hey, listen. If it's not 8 yards deep, if it's 5 yards or less, because they did that a few times yesterday. It was like 4 or 5 yards deep, and he came out.
Yep.
So to me, that what said to me was like, well, they could get out past the 30 because the Giants don't cover well in kickoff returns.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And a couple of times they got out. A couple of times they got out to 28, 35, whatever. Well, I could actually look it up if I had it, but you know, I see 30. I see, you know, 33 yeah. here, you know.
Right, right.
So there were a couple of times, you know, they came out. So that was not just a coincidence. They look at the Giants coverage team like, okay, we could get, you know, we could come out and do some damage on these guys, get out past the 25, you know, and then some, which they did a few times.
Yeah.
Definitely a concern, dude. You don't want to, you know, you can't have a special team give it up huge plays or a touchdown or a block field, a block punt, a field. Can't have that in the playoffs, man, especially in the playoffs, you know, so.
It's nice to just to worry about things now, though, right? Like, we're worried about special teams rather than just who's our quarterback. It's smaller issues, but still things you want to bring up. But that's something.
And, Jerry, you know, 4-5 in the red zone yesterday.
Yeah.
4-5, dude. Mm. I mean, they went into the game 8th in the league in red zone offense. That might go up to 7 now. We'll see when the numbers come out after Buffalo's game tonight. Dude, that's remarkable, bro. This team... Red zone, this offense is red zone, the red zone offense, I should say, the last, how long, Jerry? I mean, it's been horrific. It's been
even
a joke.
Even under Coughlin, he had to call it the green zone to make him feel better about it.
It was a
right?
joke. Yeah, the green zone. The green zone, he changed names, you know, this and that. I mean, what Mike Kafka and Dable, what they've done, and dude, I was telling you, Jerry, I was telling you back in training camp, dude, watch this red zone offense, it's going to be a totally, remember I was telling you, it's going to be totally different, bro.
Yeah.
It's going to be improved. Now, did I think it was going to be in the top 10? No, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be some jackass to sit here and go, oh yeah, I knew that, Jerry. It's going to be a top 8. You know, that try to act like Johnny Cool. You know what I mean? No, but I told you, dude, it's going to be improved.
Yeah.
It's going to be improved. Well, dude, what they have done is remarkable with this personnel. The way they're getting in the end zone at 4-5 yesterday, you know,
and technically the last one was a giveaway, right? It was they went 4-on-4, right? It was really 4-4 because the last one was just all right, run it again. We'll see what happens. Yeah, we want to run it down their throat.
Right? You know, so. It's just you know, it's incredible about Kafka and Dable, what they have done in red zone offense this year, man. It's one of look keeping them out of the end zone, third down. They held the Colts like 3-12 yesterday on third down.
Yeah,
and then converting red zone, you know, to get some touchdowns. That's what wins games, bro. And not turning the ball over. That's what wins games, man. So that makes up a lot of deficiencies personnel-wise when you're good in those categories. And you've seen that all year when the Giants have won games. It's the main reason they're 9-6-1. The fewest amount of turnovers in the league, you know. Red zone defense, third down defense, red zone offense. Incredible, you know.
One more question. Do you think this gets Dable Coach of the Year?
Man, I tell you, dude, I think he's going to get a lot of votes, Jerry.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get a lot of votes, man. I mean who will – I mean, Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota, I guess he'll be up for it. You know, Dable.
Sirianni will.
But they were in the playoffs last year.
Oh, I agree. I know, but I'm saying they'll get votes.
I wouldn't vote for Sirianni. They came back with a really good team. You know, they made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
If they look, if Sirianni was 5-12 last year, I would. They were in the playoffs this year. So I'm just talking about me, Jerry. I wouldn't vote for them. You know, I'm trying to think of some other teams. Through my head, you know, quickly. Robert Sal. Oh no, I'm only kidding. So Dable, I mean,
what a turn of events.
And dude, because you know these voters,
have
to look at the personnel the Giants have and say, how do we not give it to Dable? You know.
Yep.
So, I would vote for him, dude. I'm not being biased. You know, I'm just telling you the way it is. I would vote for him because it's remarkable, and it's not like they're even going to be 9-8. Or 8-9 and get that 7th seed. And so they're 9-6-1 and a 6th seed. So I would vote for them.
Yeah, agree. All right, buddy, anything else?
No, that's it, man. So I'm glad everybody enjoyed yesterday. You just had that feeling there was going to be a party day, bro. You know, you just had that feeling, right, Jerry? It was just like, they ain't losing this game. This is going to be, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to win this game and let the celebration begin. Gatorade bath for Dable. Jihad Ward blasted him with the Gatorade bucket.
And Love, and your boy Love. Yep.
Love was up in there. Did you like the way Love jumped in on Michael Pittman too in the game? He was like getting right up in his face.
Yes.
I saw Love jump up, and Pittman was not. He was annoyed with something. Pittman, you know, he stuck his hand out, whatever.
He pushed McCloud right in his face. Yeah.
Love jumped right in there, and all I said was, "Wow, look at Nick McCloud, and look at Julian, and look at." I said, "That's the USC Notre Dame coming out right there." Right. That's the first thing that popped my head. Yeah. You could just see it. Ah, okay, USC, go back to the sideline. You could just. Nice. Just see it. That's that hatred coming out, man. Yeah. Nick McCloud. I can't wait to see Nick this week in the locker. I'm going to ask him, dude, what was that? That was the USC Notre Dame stuff coming out, wasn't it? You know?
Nice. Good stuff.
You know? So, dude, it's just a great day all around. No question about it. Back in the playoffs. First time since 2016, man. Nobody expected this. Nobody expected this.
No.
Brian Daboll, kudos to the whole coaching staff, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable job.
Ridiculous. Incredible.
And kudos to Daniel Jones, man, who, look, it really annoyed him, dude. Dulling him for you. They didn't pick up his 50-year option. He was really irked by that. He was upset by that. Okay? Daniel will never admit it. Daniel will never admit anything like that. He was not happy with that. Okay? And he had a little chip on his shoulder, too, dude. Trust me what I'm telling you. Yeah, a little chip on his shoulder. Like, you know, so it was kudos to him because this kid is... Even from us, bro. You know, we're not innocent in this. We've ripped the kid apart numerous times.
Oh my God.
Questioned whether or not. Questioned he could be the Giants quarterback.
Yeah.
Questioned going into this season.
Yep.
The media, the fans, he knows what's going on. And just to stick with it, you know, and then doing, you know, and then you get a guy like Daboll and Kafka coming in here and forming game plans around what he could do and with no weapon. Then he loses Shep. He loses Wandale. Kenny Galladay's a non-factor. Slayton doesn't really come on until game 5 or 6, whatever, right? So, amazing, bro. Look, Bellinger's a nice little tight end, but, you know, he's not Travis Kelce. You know, he's not George Kittle. He's not running seams, 30-yard seams. You know what I mean? Okay, watch this, you know? I mean, you know, so, amazing.
To me, I love Bellinger, dude. I love the story, but to me, he's a very solid 2 or 1A. Mm-hmm. I think you could still upgrade there. No offense to Bellinger, but I just think you could go for that guy who's going to be a little more explosive.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. Listen, he's going to be a 2 when Michael Mayer is here. We all know that.
Right, right. we'll end on a high note, dude.
There's no way we can end up on a low note today, bro.
No, I mean, this is, oh my God. I mean, I'm so happy for everybody, man. I'm happy for the organization, the fans, everyone. This is incredible. It's such a good feeling and you know, that we're back. This is a lot of fun right now. I'm just trying to enjoy it as long as it's going to go, so... All right, guys, we are going to print a digital copy this week, not the final wrap-up, because after all, we're in the playoffs, so it'll be a digital version.
Imagine what you just said, dude.
I know. Like Chris and I had predicted since July.
Oh, no question we predicted it, yeah.
We're in the playoffs, so it's going to be like an 8 or 10 pager that if you subscribe and you get it digitally, you'll get that copy on Monday, I believe, this Monday night, so... But to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for that digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, we are in the playoffs. We're doing playoff podcasts now, baby. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everyone.
Enjoy. Happy New Year, too.